More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, Christ at Home. We're going to help you overcome the challenges you face in celebrating and sharing your faith in your family. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And it's good to be here with you this morning. We want to talk with you about Christ at Home. We want to help you overcome any challenges you might be facing in celebrating or sharing your faith with your family. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us what makes it difficult to live your faith fully in your home or with your family. Maybe you find it hard to find time to pray. Maybe you struggle getting your family involved. Maybe your spouse or kids push back against your faith or values or the rules you have that are rooted in that faith or values. Maybe your attempts to live your faith seem to cause tension in your marriage or family life instead of bringing you all together. If you are dealing with any of those things or anything related to trying to live your faith in your family life, we want to help you deal with it. 877-573-7825.
Well, this can be such a point of contention. You know, everything else can be just fine, we think, except around the faith issue. Yeah. You know, can we get our spouse on board with getting the kids to church every week or praying with the kids before they go to bed? Can we get our spouse on board with praying with us or following Catholic teaching on life issues and morality issues? Can we get our kids to join with us in faith life in a way that's dynamic and joyful and not just we're plodding through it or we're forcing them to do it?
You know, it's funny. I was talking with somebody who's pretty prominent in parish ministry. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of kind of parish retreats or teaching parishes how to, you know, do a better job in ministering to their parishioners. But I was talking to this person about their family life and, you know, just how do they pray as a family. And he said to me, well, I got to tell you, that's a tough one, you know, because the kids always just push back on this.
Yeah.
And I was actually kind of shocked. I mean, you know, everybody struggles with this. I understand that. But here was somebody, you know, who, like I said, is fairly prominent in ministry, does a lot of work in parish ministry, really helping adults have their faith come alive. But he was really struggling on the home front getting his kids involved in the faith. Yeah, so this is something that I think all of us struggle with to some degree or another, but the good news is it doesn't have to be a struggle. And we want to help you overcome whatever those hurdles you might be experiencing in your attempts to have a really meaningful, dynamic, grace-filled family and home spiritual life. And if you didn't think that was possible, we want to help you do it today on More to Life.
Well, there are positive ways to do it that bring great fruit, and there are really negative ways to do it that can really do damage. So, for example, one of our kids has a friend who's about to go spend some time. They do this in the summers with her grandma. Okay, the whole family goes down to see the grandma. But grandma, being very concerned... Now, this is not a Catholic family. This is a Christian and a different Christian denomination family. But the grandma is very concerned about her children and her grandchildren not having a faith relationship with God. And so part of the deal that they have with going to visit grandma, as grandma says, oh, you can all come, because she has a lovely house up in the mountains, and it's all, she said, you can all come, but the younger ones have to go to Bible camp for a week, sleep away Bible camp for a week. And there are parts of it that our child's friend enjoys, and there are parts that she really doesn't enjoy. And there's
a lot of tension around
our daughter's seeing a lot of tension in the family, and a lot of, this is a really good kid, and she gets along with her parents really well, but this kid's sort of like making little ideas of how to get back at grandma for making her do this.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes
not bearing the kind of fruit that
grandma's
looking for.
Not the fruit that grandma wants to see, you know, and so how do we do these things in a way that allow our the members of our family, the people we love, to open their hearts more to God and to us and to relationship with both? And how are we sometimes stumbling over it? We're saying, well, what in the world do we do if my ideas keep, you know, hitting a wall and not bearing any fruit?
The good news is, within the last 10 years or so, there have been some major studies that look at faith transmission, you know, the passing your faith on to the next generation, what works and what doesn't, you know, how faithful families, you know, who are doing it well, do it, and how are they different than other families that are really struggling to bring their faith home? So what we want to share with you today is really rooted in that research. It's not just a matter of, oh, well, you know, this works for us, so it should work for you. It's really about, you know, what do studies say about really living a meaningful, joyful, bonding faith life at home? What does that really look like? So we're taking your calls today about celebrating your faith at home. 877-573-7825. Again, what makes it difficult for you to live your faith fully at home or with your family? Is it hard for you, for example, to find time to pray? Or, you know, I was talking with somebody the other day who really struggles with feeling guilty because there are certain things that help her feel like she's maintained a relationship with God, but her messy family life doesn't allow her to do those things every day. And so she feels kind of guilty because she's not able to make that stuff happen on a regular basis. She feels like she's maybe shortchanging God in some way. And we spend some time talking about how she could experience God in other ways in the course of her marriage and family life that were really kind of powerful for her. But maybe you struggle with getting your family involved in the ways that you're trying to celebrate the faith, either at home or at church. Maybe your spouse or kids push back against your faith or values, or your attempts to live your faith seem to cause some tension in your marriage or family life. We want to help you deal with all of that and more today on More to Life at 877-573-7825.
I think this is a very important time of the year to talk about this as well, because so many of us as Catholic families sort of have our ducks in a row, or think we do, during the normal course of, say, a school year. Okay, so you have your parish obligations during the course of a regular academic year, right? The choir meets if you're part of that, whatever, you know, women's group or men's group you belong to meets. Kids have, you know, different youth groups that go on during the course of the school year. And, you know, if you're able, maybe you have your kids in Catholic school during the course of a school year. And so, you know they're doing that coursework and know they're getting taken to Mass every once in a while, more than just on a Sunday with you. Then summer comes, and everything kind of dissolves. You know, oh, choir doesn't meet all the time. Women and men's groups take a break because everybody's on vacation. There's perhaps vacation Bible school that your kids can attend or as a teenager volunteer for, but there's no constant meeting every week of their youth group. And certainly school's out, so you're not even having those conversations about what they're learning in their religion class. And it can all just kind of fall apart. And you can say, oh, well, I'll get back to that in September. But this is a time where we can take advantage of the, I'm not going to say the slowness of life, because most of us don't have slowness of life even in the summer anymore, but we can take advantage of less structure.
Mm-hmm.
To really bring our hearts and our families' hearts to God and to faith in a much deeper way sometimes
than the ordinary, and be a little more intentional about how we're doing it.
It can be.
And you mentioned the summer. You know, this summer coming up in July, just about 3 weeks from now, we are going to be, Lisa and I are going to be leading a symposium at Notre Dame on really renewing Catholic family life. And it's a gathering of about 50 altogether, theologians, social scientists, pastoral ministry people. And what we're going to be doing over the course of about 4 days is looking at four big questions. Number one, are Catholic families called to be different somehow than other families in the way we relate to each other, both in the home and out in the world? Secondly, what does a domestic church-based spirituality actually look like? What I mean by that is, most of what we think of as Catholic spirituality, quote-unquote, is drawn from the monastic and clerical tradition, and it's beautiful. And I think most of us can take some advantage of it, but for the most part, it doesn't really fit very well into messy family life, right? And so you end up with people saying things like, well, I used to have a great prayer life, and then I got married and had kids, right? Well, we don't think that the vocation of marriage and family should somehow be antithetical to living a holy life. So we're going to be looking at that question of what does, a family-based Catholic spirituality actually look like? The third question we're going to be examining is what does the research have to say about what parents can do to both kind of raise or be intentional disciples at home and raise the next generation of intentional disciples? What can we do as Catholic families to stop losing our kids to the world?
Well, especially right now. I mean, Bishop Barron was just talking about how many kids around the age of 13 on up in teenage life, especially in light of all of the darkness that's gone on in the church in the news lately, are just leaving in droves, are just deciding not to be part of the church. We as parents are the only ones who can really make a bridge between them and their faith during such a crisis time. It's really on us to say, how do we do this? Let's make this happen. Let's build that bridge between our kids and God.
And then finally, the last question we're going to be looking at is how can we as a church do a better job empowering families to be the instruments of evangelization and positive social change that we're meant to be? The church teaches that families, in fact, Pope John Paul II talked about how families were supposed to be the cutting edge and the leading edge of the new evangelization. Because, let's face it, chances are the people that you run into all day at work or in your extended family or your neighbors, they're never going to darken the door of a church. They're never going to take advantage of a church program or some church ministry, but they know you. And how can we help families do the job of bringing the gospel to the world and really living that their faith out loud? Well, those are the things we're going to be looking at the symposium, the Symposium on Catholic Family Life and Spirituality at Notre Dame this July. And we're really excited about it. But to kind of get a jump on it, we wanted to talk with you today and really start exploring what are the challenges that you face in trying to do that stuff for yourself? What are the challenges that you experience in trying to live your faith fully at home? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start responding to your questions. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the gift of family, and we thank you for allowing families to be the primary way that you intend to communicate your love and your presence to all of your children. But Lord, we have a tendency to take our families for granted, to feel like somehow we need something other than family to raise faithful people, or to leave family to somehow be faithful people. Help us to experience your love and grace flowing through our homes, setting our hearts on fire with your grace and love, and letting our homes be that light that lead others to you. Help us, as your servant Pope St. John Paul the Great said, to become what we are, those lights in the world and salt in the earth. Let your families be faithful witnesses to the gospel in all that we do. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Christ at Home, we're going to help you overcome the challenges you might be facing as you try to celebrate or share your faith in your family. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Tell us what's making it challenging for you to live your faith fully at home with your family, whether it's you having a difficult time finding time to pray and do all the other stuff that you need to do as a spouse or a parent.
We all struggle with that one.
Or it's conflict in your house caused by your attempts to pass on or live your faith or values. Whatever the struggles are, we want to help you deal with those challenges and really bring Christ into your home in a way that allows you to experience the joy of the faith, the warmth that comes from living out that faith, and the grace that can empower you to experience God's love at home. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with our first listener who's listening in Michigan on Sirius 130.
Hey there, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us?
Hello. I'll try to be brief. I go to church, and I'm trying to build community in the church. Mm-hmm. I pray. I pray the rosary. My wife was converted to Catholicism from mm-hmm. Judaism. She's now not practicing anything. She's unsure of everything. My daughters are not practicing anything.
How old are your kids?
31 and 35.
Okay, so they're adult children.
Dates me a little bit, but then I got a grandson that's 8 months old that needs to be baptized. So I pray about this. I don't know. The reason he's not baptized is because my youngest daughter that's married, her husband has not gotten annulment on the first marriage. He didn't have any kids, so that's a sticking point with this. And
sure, your ability to
I'm
be
having a hard time.
I think your ability to have an impact on your adult children and grandchildren, for that matter, I think starts with your ability to resolve the, I won't say conflict necessarily, but the disconnect, say, between you and your wife on how you're living your faith. Because right now, I think everybody's kind of gotten the impression that the faith is sort of a personal thing. It's not a corporate thing. It's not a family thing, right? It's a you thing, not a you and your wife thing or you and your family thing. And so they all have this sort of idea that, you know, I can accept it or I can reject it. It's not part of who I am. It's just something Dad does, right? So the question has to be, how do you bridge that gap how do you start bridging that gap between you and your wife so that you can start to share something more? So tell me now, how do you try to address these faith issues with your wife to begin with?
Well, she goes back in time and says, you know, I became a Catholic in order to be part of because you weren't going to become a Jew. And so being Catholic was a way to have family, and it was the right thing to do. So she kind of became a Catholic to have the family, not because deep down she had this spiritual illumination about Jesus. Mm-hmm. So, and then about at that point in time, maybe when I came out of church, I wasn't that nice or whatever. She looked at my personality and mm-hmm. my behavior, and now she's using that kind of as a reason why.
All right, so
you know.
So I got a couple of things I want you to focus on. All right, so and she's giving you some hints there, but it's a twofold thing. Number one, I you know, being the faithful spouse really puts on us the responsibility of of really stepping up our game in terms of how loving and generous we're being. You know, being faithful doesn't just mean spending time on our knees. It means spending time loving. It means the more we experience God's love for us and the people that we love, the more we want to work to convey that love in ways that, you know, so you, I want you to really sit down after this call and think, you know, one of the things that my wife has said to me or asked me to do that I've resisted, you know, because it's just not comfortable or it's just not my thing. And I want you to start doing those things, not because you feel like it, but because that's what it means to communicate God's love to her, you know, and to love her so well that she starts looking at you funny, like, why are you being so nice to me? And at that point, you know, and again, there's no agenda here. It's not because you want, you know, you're trying to get her to go to church. It's because you really want to show her that you love her, right? But when she asks you, why are you being so nice to me? You say, you know, listen, I'm really sorry. But I've been really convicted lately about how much God loves you and how I've done kind of a poor job of showing that to you. And so I've been really challenged by God to be the husband that you need me to be. And I want to start there. And no agenda, no whatever. But I just want to show you how much I love you and how much God loves you. When you've done that for a while, then I'd like you to start making her coming to church with you. An issue. Not when I say an issue, I don't mean fight about it.
Not nagging, not fighting.
But I do mean talking about it and saying how important it is to you and that this is something that even if she doesn't understand or appreciate or get or whatever fully, that you'd like her to do it, to share it with you and experience it together. And I want you to take that 1-2 approach. I'd also like you to pick up a copy of our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, because it's really going to walk you through the other steps that it's going to take to really bring your faith into in practical ways into your marriage and family life. I got to go to break right now, but so I'll leave you with that. But I think those two suggestions and that extra resource, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love, is going to get you the rest of the way. And please don't hesitate to call us back with other questions. I do have to go to break right now. But we'll be happy to walk you through the next steps once you've started here. More to Life will continue right after this.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Now, on the Ave Maria Radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary. All four mysteries are voiced by Christ as the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria Radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. We're talking about living your faith at home. What are the challenges you face in trying to live, pass on, or celebrate your faith in your family? Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jamie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Alabama on iHeartRadio.
Hey, Jamie, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hello. So when my mother-in-law was pregnant with my husband, his dad's Catholic, so they went to the Catholic Church, and because they weren't married in the Catholic Church, the priest said that my husband would be an ugly word that starts with a B.
Okay.
And that he was going to go southward because they weren't married in the church before he was conceived.
Oh, my. Okay.
And so it left a bad taste in her mouth. She ended up going to Lutheran church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My husband now, because of that, has just a complete thing against organized religion. Mm-hmm. I was raised Catholic and Baptist, and I want to go to RCIA, but I'd heard on one of the radio stations that I can't take communion unless I'm married in the church. And my husband, because of all that, absolutely refuses. So I pray for him, and every Sunday I invite him to church, but I don't know what else to do to kind of wash away that bad taste.
Okay. Well, you know what? Here's one thought, okay? And then I'll want to kick it over to my wife here, too, because the first thing is, I want you to not look at this so much as a religion issue, but as a respect issue. Because mm-hmm. when you respect somebody, you know, you try hard to see the truth and goodness and the beauty in the things they find true, good, and beautiful, even if it's not your thing.
And even if you find it a little uncomfortable.
And so I want you to challenge your husband on that level and say, listen, I get that you have this history here, and I respect that. But you're in a relationship with me. You know, now, not 30 years ago. I mean, you're in a relationship with me now, and I love you, and this is something that's important to me, and I need you to be open to it. Again, not because it's a religion thing, but because it's a respect thing. And so, Jamie, I'd like you to really first start thinking a little bit about how would you get him to do anything that you're interested in that he's not, and start there, because that's really what this is about, not so much the religion piece.
But Jamie, I have a couple of ideas and a couple of thoughts that I really want you to be able to think about, so do me a favor and just hang on with us till after the break, and we're going to come back to your call and discuss this a little bit more, because I think there are also a whole lot of people who have the same issue and would like to hear some more of this answer.
Yeah, so we're going to unpack this with you when we come back. We're taking your calls as well about Christ at home. We're helping you overcome the challenges you face and celebrating and passing on and sharing your faith in your family. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. More to Life will be back right after this.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible for the Holy Spirit to work here because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism? This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent. When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What are some of the common temptations against prayer? The Catechism claims that the most common yet hidden temptation is lack of faith, which is expressed not so much in a declaration of disbelief as our actual preferences. For instance, when we begin to pray, a thousand labors or cares vie for priority. This is a moment of truth for our heart. What is our heart's true love? Do we call on the Lord just as a last resort, or do we presumptuously call on Him as an ally? In each case, the Catechism says, we have not acquired the disposition of the humble heart, which remembers the Lord's words, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." A presumptuous heart may experience the temptation of acidia, defined as spiritual depression due to lax ascetical practice, decreasing vigilance, and carelessness of heart. As Jesus chastised his sleeping apostles in Gethsemane, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Arguments about money are well known as one of the leading causes of divorce, but these arguments actually have very little to do with financial know-how. Rather, it's about the goals you and your spouse have for your finances and how you feel your money should be used. Here are four steps to managing money problems in your marriage. Step 1. Examine your conscience. Do your ideas about money line up with what the church teaches about money? Step 2. Pray about your finances together, letting God enter into your financial decisions helps couples to act as a team instead of two opposing forces. Step 3, use your problem-solving tools. Resolve to take care of your spouse through your money decisions, but use numbers to make decisions, not feelings. And step 4, get professional help. You need access to right knowledge to make a sound financial decision for your family's future. See, talking about money doesn't have to be a negative experience. For more marriage guidance, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And we're talking about Christ at home, helping you overcome the challenges you face to celebrating, sharing, or passing on your faith in your family. What makes it difficult for you to live your faith fully at home or in your family? Give us a call. Let's talk it out at 877-573-7825. Before the break, we were talking with Jamie in Alabama, who was sharing with us that her husband, when he was born, a priest told his parents that he was illegitimate and they were going to hell because he wasn't conceived, you know, in marriage. And
he didn't say it very nicely.
No, he wasn't
very
kind about it at all. And so the husband has a whole lot of animosity toward the church, understandably. Jamie, however, is feeling called to come into the church, and so she's kind of struggling to know how to bring him in, and especially now that they haven't been married in the church, the whole issue about communion is a thing, too, so there's a whole lot going on here. Is that a fair summary, Jamie, of where things stand?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so now before the break, I asked you a question, and I couldn't get your response because we had to go. But I said, you know, I wanted you to start thinking about this not so much as a religious issue, but as a respect issue, and to ask yourself, you know, how do you get him to do anything that maybe he's not as interested in as you are? Is he open to that? Like, you know, does he respect you enough to try to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty and those things that you're interested in, but he's not?
Yeah, on everything else, he goes and does whatever I ask him to. And with church, if I nag, he'll go. Mm-hmm. But he, like, sits on his phone and plays games quietly, but, you know, instead of being
passive aggressively being there.
Okay. You know what?
Sorry.
Let me ask you a question, though, here, Jamie. If he goes to church, right, and he's passively aggressively sitting there, what happens if you just ask him to pray with you at home? Is he open to any kind of spiritual relationship between you and him and God at all?
The only time he has ever prayed at home that I know of is when I was diagnosed with cancer. I had to go in for a surgery.
Okay.
And the entire time I was in surgery, he prayed, and I looked at him when I woke up, and I said, yeah, you know, there's no atheist in a foxhole. But
you know what?
That's the only time he's ever told me he's prayed.
You know, you should actually use that as a little bit of leverage. You know, God came through and gave me back to you, husband dear. Let's talk to him about what he wants, in terms of a relationship with us now that he gave us this time together.
Well, yeah, because I think that what you've got here, you know, is a guy who's got some real emotional issues with the church, understandably.
Mm-hmm. Understandably.
He came by them honestly, okay?
Yeah, his life was not handled in a pastoral way. It was just sort of attacked.
But he loves you, you know, and he respects you. And that's really important, because that's the biggest part of it. And I hate to say I want you to use that, but I'd like you to give him the credit that he deserves, right?
Mm-hmm.
By going to him and saying, look, honey, I know this is really hard for you. But this is really important to me, and I feel like God is calling me into a deeper relationship with Him, and I don't want to leave you behind in that. I want you to come with me,
I don't want to have an affair with God and push you to the side. I want us to both have a relationship with God, so it makes our relationship even better.
And I know that's not easy for you, and I promise to be patient, but I need you to come along with me. So, you know, go ahead and nag him a little bit to go to church. Go and on top of that, go ahead and say, look, it's really important for us to pray together today.
I would even start there, since he has a couple of issues around, you know, the organization of the church, or what has been told are the rules of the church, rules in big capital letters. I would say, honey, I really feel called by God. Let's start praying together every day. Let's just start by kind of bringing our hearts to God and saying, Lord, you know, I, Jamie, want to have a relationship with you. My husband's, you know, struggling here. lead us closer to you. Show us how you want us to do this. If you still feel led to continue, you know, the idea of attending RCIA, invite him along and say, you know what, honey? 2,000 years of people stamping their feet at the church still has answers. So come along and ask your questions. And really, let's learn about why all this stuff went down. Just because you had one grumpy priest who didn't bother to be pastoral or explain anything to your mother doesn't mean that, you know, the whole thing is rotten. And we well know that now, don't we? That things can still be blessed and abundant, even though there are a couple of people who don't have their ducks in a row. And so let's really, like, look at letting him voice that to people who are there to help him understand better. But invite him in terms of, let's have a deeper relationship. Let's have an even better relationship that we have. God gave me back to you. Let's go deeper with him together, because we want to do that. And just to take this away from religion for a second, okay, because I realize he's afraid. He is afraid because of past life experiences of his mom and his own. But let's say this was a totally non-religious issue. Let's say that one time when he was a little kid, he got burned in the kitchen, all right? Something burned him, the stove, a pot of water, whatever it was. Would he never eat again? Would he only, you know, go through a drive-through and never learn how to cook? And if that was the case, would you let him, as his wife, continue to do that? I don't think so. You'd say, let's take some classes so we learn how to do this well, and you never get hurt again, and you can have a fuller culinary experience and not starve to death. Or, you know, you wouldn't have a fear of approaching him about taking cooking classes, even if he had a history of getting burned. And you shouldn't have a fear in this, because it's so much more important and abundant than
any other
thing.
That, you know, we do have a fear approaching our spouse or family about religious issues, because it's religion, and it's been drummed into us that you can't force religion down other people's throats. Mm-hmm. You can't force. This is not about that, right? This is about you feeling called to do something that's really important. And I want you to have the courage to share that with your husband. He loves you. He respects you. Don't be afraid to push this. Because as a faithful woman, you want to have a faithful marriage. You know, and a marriage rooted in grace. And the only way that's going to happen is if you make this an issue. And be willing to push it a bit. And I think, based on what you've shared, he's open, you know, to your desires. And I think that he'll be open to this, even though he's going to be a little bit hard for him. It'll stretch him, but that's okay. Don't be afraid to stretch him a little bit. This is the job that a faithful spouse has, to work for their spouse's good. And to challenge them in these ways. So be not afraid.
But, Jamie, I will add to that. Listen to what Greg said to our last caller today when he was talking to him about really loving his wife so much that it brought her into a, you know, realization of, well, why do you love me so much? Why are you acting so strangely? Oh, because God loves you so much. You can't make this a point of argument. You have to make it a point of love and being in deeper relationship with your husband. And what being in a relationship with God together can bring the both of you two together. That's really the way to start with this.
So, to pick up with Lisa's suggestion about praying with him a little bit more at home, I want you to pick up a copy of our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love, which is not a book of prayers you say, you know, with your spouse. It's a way to really bring God into your home and your marriage in a deeper way. And it really walks you step by step through how to have that kind of marital spirituality that draws your heart closer to your husband's heart, and then the two of you closer to God. Again, the book is Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love. Jamie, thanks so much for the call. I hope these ideas will get you started, and please don't hesitate to call us back with any other questions as you try to institute some of these suggestions in your relationship. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you about the challenges you might be facing in living your faith fully at home. Are you having a hard time finding time to pray? Do you struggle getting your family involved in your faith or attempts to live your faith at home? Does your spouse or your kids push back against your faith or values? Or do your attempts to live your faith tend to cause tension in your marriage or family instead of bringing you all closer together? We want to help you through all that and more. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. 7825.
Let's talk now with John, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Colorado on the EWTN app.
Hey there, John. Welcome to More to Life.
Good morning, Mrs. Popchak. How are you?
Good, thank you. What can we do for you today, John?
Oh, thank you so much. I have a 15-year-old daughter. I'm cradle Catholic, very fervent. I lead the rosary in church and play trumpet in the choir. And my wife converted. She's on fire with the Catholic faith. She converted from hedonism when she was younger. And my daughter is 16 now, and we found some marijuana. Okay. We live on a farm about 20 miles from town, and she actually was crying, hyperventilating on the deck two nights ago while I was changing the oil in the car. And she's our only child, and she's very, very depressed, and doesn't even want to live. I mean, she's telling us she life's not worth living because she wants to be with her friends. But the friends she's with are smoking pot. They're engaged in premarital sex, and she herself doesn't want to get involved in that because I'm involved in closing down an abortion clinic, and she's seen pictures of aborted children, and she doesn't want to get involved in that. And
but she's lonely. She's lonely, and she doesn't know where to find her.
Very
place.
Lonely. Yeah, and she won't pray the rosary with us. She does pray the daily prayers, morning, evening prayer.
Uh-huh.
She'll do that with us, but she'll stand 50 feet behind us when we're walking down the county road praying the rosary.
Okay.
And she won't pray the rosary in church.
All right.
Will she pray anything with you in your home when it's not a public thing?
Correct.
She will pray at home.
Yeah. She'll pray the breviary at home with us.
Okay. So we've got several different issues here, and the most important thing is her depression, and especially when you're saying that she's wondering, saying that life isn't worth living.
Yeah, are,
is she is she indicating that she wants to hurt herself in any way, John?
No, not. She hasn't done that at all.
Well, I know she hasn't done it. Has she said, "I want to hurt myself," or sometimes I think about doing this to myself or hurting myself this way or that way, even if she hasn't done it?
Right. No, she hasn't indicated any of that. But she just indicated life's not worth living. She just didn't want to live.
So you got a lonely kid there who's typically, as a teenager, doesn't want to make a big display about anything because that's going to make her even lonelier, potentially, because people are going to think she's weird. Right? So so her rejecting you, praying the rosary, while you're walking down the street, or even, necessarily at church, she doesn't want to be the leader in that because she's already the odd duck out with all of her friends who are doing worldly things, and she doesn't want to do those things, so she's already on the edge of that. And then if she does this other stuff, too, that's so public, then it's just going to make it even worse for her. The one question I do have for you before I go on here, can you tell me, do you guys have a youth group at church? Is she involved in that at all?
Yeah, she's in religious ed, and there's a Steubenville conference in San Diego.
I'm talking about a youth group that meets regularly with other people her age that
you
are really
kind of socialize. It's not about a school class. I mean, people think, oh, religious ed, the kids are together. No, it's like you might as well send her to an extra algebra class if she doesn't have people she can connect with.
Like any kind of a youth ministry that your parish has.
Yeah, she's involved in a lot of kids from school that aren't Catholic, and she likes them better. She calls her.
At your parish, at your Catholic parish, does your parish have a youth ministry?
Yes.
And does she go?
Yeah, she goes to the RE class Sunday morning.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So there's a disconnect here.
Yeah.
I want, John, I want you to go talk to your pastor and see if there's a youth group That's different from religious ed. Youth group is a group of you know, people who get together, like your daughter's age, okay, who are really talking about how they can live their faith in their everyday teenage life, okay? And it gives her an opportunity to make friends with other people who are going through the same kinds of things that she's going through, and really be able to experience, and support each other in living their faith as teens. The thing is, John, you know, you've got a very adult spirituality. It's a very beautiful spirituality, but it's a very adult spirituality. And she participates in it as much as she can. But a lot of the things that you're doing, like I said, are really making it hard for her to feel like she knows how to fit in at all. You've got her going to religious ed classes, which is great. You're doing certain things to pray at home, which is great.
And sending her to a Steubenville conference is wonderful, but it's a one-time event. And we've seen way too many parents who think that they'll send their kids away for a weekend and they'll come back filled with the Holy Spirit and everything will be fine.
She needs
without
somebody,
the relationship
yeah.
and support. It doesn't stay fine.
She needs a group of faithful teens to hang out with, like, weekly, at least.
And she also needs her parents to pray with her in ways that make sense to her life. So it's great that she'll pray the breviary with you. That's wonderful. You need time as a family to just talk to God about life, about your lives together as a family, about her life at school, and to bring all of those concerns to God, and to spend time every day as a family verbally pointing out where you've seen God show up in your days and bless you, so that she can have that awareness that God is not something that's so distant it's only about closing abortion clinics or marching down the street praying the rosary or praying the breviary, which are all adult, wonderful, deep things to be able to do, but are not connecting with where she's hurting now.
So, number one, I want you to talk to your pastor and see if there's an actual youth group that meets on a regular basis.
It has nothing to do with education.
Yeah, it has to do with being social with other teens who are trying to be faithful. Okay? That's number one. Number two, I want you to pick up a copy of our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids. I want you to look at the sections on family prayer and on adolescence. And I want you to really put into practice the things that you read there, because you're doing a lot of good things, but you have a very adult approach to your faith that's not checking the boxes for what your daughter needs. Because faith evolves in different stages, okay? And as kids grow up, as we all grow up, we need to get the right spiritual food to be able to nourish us at different faith stages. Your daughter's at the relationship stage of faith. And teenagers believe that something is true because it makes relationships either easier or more possible. They tend to believe that it's false if it makes their relationships harder. You're at a critical period here where you need to show her that your faith can facilitate her relationships.
And not necessarily her relationships with kids who are really bad for her, but relationships that are going to help her bloom and be healthy.
Yeah, and if you can't do that, then you run the risk of her feeling like her faith is an obstacle to getting her needs met in life. So that's the challenge that you got in front of you. How can you connect her with other people that will support her in living this faith abundantly? And how can you show her that your faith draws you as a family closer together and makes you feel more connected with each other on a heart-to-heart way?
And with that connection in your family in mind, there's a secular book I'm going to recommend. There's nothing anti-faith about it, but it is a secular writer. The writer is Dr. Gordon Neufeld. He wrote a book called Hold On to Your Kids. And it's really about empowering parents to realize that their connection with their children and their children, their teens' connection with them is not only vital, but also doable. And he shows you how to make that happen. It's an excellent book. And I think you and your wife would really get a much different perspective on how to make those at-home connections with her that you're working so hard on, but are just missing the mark a titch.
So, John, those two titles again, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids, and Gordon Neufeld's book, Hold On to Your Kids.
And if she continues to seem depressed, if she continues to verbalize that life is not worth living, please, this is a yeah. child who needs professional counseling. If this continues more than a day or two of just feeling kind of like not right with the world, She really does need to be with a good, faithful professional.
I would encourage
counselor.
You to get her evaluated immediately. And if there's more that we can do to help you with that, don't hesitate to reach out to us at the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice. We can either work with you or help you find somebody that will. John, thanks for the call. We have to go to break with that. When we come back, more of your questions about living the faith at home. What makes it tough to live, share, or celebrate your faith at home with your family? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org. Hi, everybody. Dr. A here. Well, being a grandparent's just like being a parent, isn't it? Only different here. I have a book with that same title. And in that book, I take on the ups and the downs of being grandparents. It's a second go around with the kids in a way that mirrors God's own unconditional love for us. You can get the book and my many others at AveMariaRadio.net.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking about living the faith at home and the challenges you might face in doing that. With that, let's go to our next caller, Margaret, listening in South Lyon, Michigan on WDEO. Hey, Margaret, welcome to More to Life.
Hi. I have a couple of things. One is I have two children, both of whom are fallen away Catholics. My daughter is married to another fallen away Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter has found a Christian church that she likes,
okay.
And she takes her daughter there, but her husband isn't involved at all. And with my son, he doesn't go to church. He goes to AA, which is where he says he finds God.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got another issue. He had kind of a major conversion in about 9 years ago.
So, Morgan, I just for the sake of time, we've got 2 minutes before the music starts playing us out of here. So what's your question? How can we help you out?
Well, my question is, all of my kids, nobody is Catholic.
Okay.
My daughter is trying to be Christian, but mm-hmm. I just, you know, I pray for all of them, of course, but I don't know if there's anything beyond that I should
do. You can do? Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, your witness is the most important thing. Asking yourself, you know, how is your faith helping you be a stronger person, a more loving person, and a more joyful person? Because those are the qualities that are going to really shine out to your kids. Your adult kids want to know how to be joyful people, how to be strong people, how to be loving people,
how to get really healthy and you know, tap into the grace of God so that they can do that.
And the more they can see your faith producing that kind of fruit in your life, the more attractive your faith will be to them, especially when they face struggles. So really working hard on your witness, not preaching at them, not lecturing them, but really showing them the difference that your faith is making in your practical everyday life. That's number one. Number two, not being afraid of talking about that. You know, being able to just openly share, you know, I was really struggling with this, or I really felt that, you know, God was challenging me this way, and I really was grateful for the grace that God gave me to overcome this fear I had, or this challenge I was facing, or this struggle that I was going through, and he really helped me through that, right? So sharing that witness. Number three, bringing God into your relationship with your kids. When they start sharing with you that they're struggling about something, say, you know what, gosh, I am so sorry, honey, I don't know what to tell you, but I know that God does. Lord, please bless my daughter in this situation and give her the wisdom and the grace that she needs to handle this well. Or whenever they talk to you about joys, you know, that's wonderful, honey. I'm so glad that's happening in your life. God, thank you for that blessing. You see, it's a 3-second prayer, but you're introducing God into those little interactions with your kids that lets them know that he cares about even the tiniest parts of their life, and he's working through you. This is going to be a lifelong project, Margaret, but I know that the more you work on that witness, your willingness to share that witness, and your willingness to bring Christ into your interactions with your kids, the more God's going to crack open their heart bit by bit. With that, we got to get out of here, but thank you so much for sharing your stories with us, and if there's more we can do to support you in your faith journey or living your faith at home with your family, come on over to CatholicCounselors.com and check out the many resources we have. CatholicCounselors.com, and get out there and celebrate the life that God has in store for you.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.